Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. I am Jason Goff, and I am in a full room of beautiful basketball minds. I've got Rob Schaefer from NBCSportsChicago.com. I've got Layla Rahimi from NBC Sports Chicago Everything, not just, you know, sideline reporting, but she does everything here. And, of course, we have the Dean, the legend, Casey Johnson from NBCSportsChicago.com as well. And he hates when I do that. But, you know, you got to give people their flowers. Coming up on the show, we'll talk the Bulls injuries, and how to digest it as a fan. And we'll get into some NBA playoff and regular season down the stretch talk as well. We'll talk about the Rockets, talk about the Lakers and the Pelicans and every other team that you can imagine that might tickle your NBA fancy.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
What are we talking about today?
NBA.
NBA and the added injury bonus of Kobe White.
Oh, yeah.
And Luke
Kornet. And Luke Kornet.
Damn. Oh, what are we doing here? All right. Is the template a little sheet? We got the sheet in here?
Oh, yeah, it'll grab it.
Son of a bitch!
You can start. We're recording already.
We can start?
Yes.
Oh, so son of a bitch to start?
Yes.
Bet.
Yeah.
That's how I like to start my podcast, with a great curse word. All right, so lady and gents, we are here, and we are in this portion of the season where we're asking, what's going on? And I think enough has been said in terms of the playoffs, and enough has been said in terms of development. Rob, I want to start with you, where the Chicago Bulls are as we have a little bit more than 20 games left in the season, how these 20 games should be spent, what should be said, what should be asked, what should be seen from your reporter's eye. Where are you at right now in terms of covering this team and the important questions that need to be asked going forward?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm covering the Windy City Bulls a little bit.
Well,
just state of
Rob starting to podcast off with some spice.
No, not in terms of Layla, level of competition, obviously, but in terms of just the amount of injuries.
Your compliment has to be a little bit worse after his, by the way.
You gotta
feel like you're covering like a middle school basketball team or something. He went G League early on us. It has to devolve from there.
They're taller than middle school players.
Well, there it is. All right, we'll come to KC for his slight later.
Not ahead, meant Rob. As a slight. A harsh reality of the state of the injury situation. KC and I just came from practice where we were told that Kobe White tweaked his back in the middle of the best stretch of his career and the best stretch, I mean, wins and losses aside, maybe the...
You got to stop practicing.
Well, he did it before.
There's too many things happening in practice right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this injury cloud is just kind of hanging over everything. Right. And I remember Tony asked me a couple weeks ago what the biggest defining questions were down the stretch of the season, and Kobe is at the center of that conversation. So the hope is that he doesn't miss any time or that this doesn't mar kind of his best stretch, as I was saying. Other than that, the playoffs are not getting brought up as much anymore.
Well,
so.
I mean, they shouldn't. the coach was... I was there for that pregame scrum where he pretty much said that they don't talk about it, nor are they judged on wins going forward. I want to jumble up his words too much, but that was the declaration that we all had come to before we heard it, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, so they realize where they are right now as well. Layla, you're around these guys, you're on the sideline, you're near the benches, you're talking to people. How do you feel these last 20 or so games have to be digested by Bulls fans and by us who are covering them?
The funny part is Tomasz Satoranski, somewhere in the last three games that I've worked, mentioned the playoffs still. So he's still somewhat focused on that goal. And for players, I think that it's still something that you should have the goal of. When you lower your bar, everything else, as we all know, just from human nature, gets lowered. Rob, you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say Wendell did technically bring it up today, but it felt like an aside.
It was cursory.
Yeah.
But for them, for self-motivation, I feel like that's important. But yeah, as we heard Jim Boylan say, that wasn't what was being brought up, which means that would indicate that the front office doesn't have that expectation of him and this team either. I defer to KC on front office because you see them more than I do. As far as the players are concerned, the guys who are there are still doing everything they can or trying to, but we see the execution and the product on the court. The biggest argument positively that we could make was that Coby White deserves to start. We have to figure out what's going on with his back. Right. Jim Boylan pointed to the upcoming games, and Friday specifically, I believe, as being what he wanted to see out of this team, because he mentioned, and I think the goal was Otto Porter, who we saw practice today.
Yay.
He wanted to see Friday as the day where he was going to change that injury report, but you don't want it including Coby White, so
right.
I don't even know how to feel about it. But the players still will have that goal, and I understand why. They have to motivate themselves. They do.
KC?
Hello. What's going on?
You've been around a lot of teams, man.
Yeah.
You've covered a lot of different weird. I blame KC, to be honest. Let's really get to the crux of this.
My first season here.
Yeah. KC has been snake bitten for the last 20 years or so. No, seriously. What are you seeing? What are you feeling around this bunch? And where do Bulls fans and people who cover this team go from here? How do we correctly cover these last 20 or so games?
Well, you don't do anything until any of those guys come back. I mean, Rob was there when this happened. I even, away from the cameras, confessed to Jim Boylan today that I'm kind of low energy. It's the dog days of the beat, and I'm not watching NBA basketball. And that's really not a knock on Shaq Harrison or Ryan Arcidiacono or Adam Makoka.
Mm-hmm.
These guys aren't supposed to be playing heavy minutes, and they currently are. So it's not real NBA basketball right now. It's not. So until any of those guys get back, you just got to kind of tread water. Now, I do think Wendell's going to play on Saturday against the Knicks. Thumbs up to that. I think Otto's close. Thumbs up to that. And Lowry's at 5 weeks in a 4 to 6 week window. When those three guys get back, then it's time to start paying attention and take with it what you want. You know, I mean, playoffs are not happening. The season has been a train wreck on so many levels you can't even begin to describe, although I guess that's what a podcast is for.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just you gotta get those guys back and then see what salvage what you can from this season.
Yeah, the fan in me is very disappointed. And there was a lot of talk at the beginning, because I remember the season preview show like it was yesterday. And, you know, Will and Kendall were all about it. And I was like, I'm still waiting, guys. And I didn't know how or what I was waiting on. I just knew that there's Bulls fans who are a little gun-shy. Not a little gun-shy, a lot gun-shy right now. And for this, like you mentioned, Lowry to be in the fifth of the 4 to 6 week window, Wendell coming back hopefully on Saturday, and hopefully, and we'll get more news as we go along here, but hopefully Kobe's back isn't serious. Like all these things, and you're getting ready as a Bulls fan to maybe watch a 10-15 game run of some of the parts that you thought you would have in the beginning of the season. But throughout the season, there's been so many bumps in the road. There's been so much talk, and there's been so much silence from the people that you want to hear talk. And it's just, I understand. Like, I keep trying to tell my Bulls fans friends, I understand. And when you come up to me in the store or whatever, I understand. And whatever you want to say, I understand. I got you. I know that you're just throwing things out there with no solutions because you're angry and you're tired and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. But, you know, it's hard for me to tell these Bulls fans these last 10 games. Then you can judge it. Because if they go 6-4 or 7-3 where with all those guys together, then it's like, oh, you got a taste for next year. But these tastes never result in the full meal. And I think that's where Bulls fans are stuck right now, trying to figure out what they can trust and how they should trust it going forward.
Well, the other problem is, and this may be a depressing or sobering point, but unless they trade Zach LaVine this offseason, there's not much they can do with this roster. That's right. Assuming Otto Porter Jr. opts in, which I think that he will.
Feels but like it's probably real.
But,
yeah,
but
probably
that's, real. That's the other thing Bulls fans have to prepare themselves for. This is a team that has very little This is a team that has very little room to operate to change the roster unless they trade Zach LaVine. And I've been given no indications or have heard no talk that they are on that train.
Do you think they would trade Lowry Markkanen?
That would be dumb because it's on a rookie scale contract. So you're not going to get back value for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to echo your point, I think you're not going to get the value for him, and especially this would be the low point where you would want to trade Lowry. And I still think that there's an upside to him. I still believe that this is not the guy who we know to be.
No, you still believe he's talented.
Me. Yeah.
It's a season of setbacks and regression and offensive system talk and all these other things. It's like, you know what it is? I wish there was a Kyrie Irving to blame for this situation. You know what I mean? Like, Jason Tatum went from, oh, he might be the dude, to, oh, what the hell happened to Jason Tatum last year, to now we're seeing like a midseason.
He's the dude.
Yeah, yes. Metamorphosis. Yeah. Like, yes. Rarely do we see a superstar turn in a season. Usually we see it in the offseason, then the season they come back with something like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like, this last 3 weeks or so, 2 weeks or so, Jason Tatum has turned into a top 10, top 15 NBA player out of nowhere. Like, I'm not saying that Lowry Markkanen is Jason Tatum at all, but what I'm hoping is that Lowry Markkanen, for whatever reason, next year comes back with a clear mind and a pure heart, and I'm trying not to sound like Jim Boylan right now. But
how rare is that, though? For a player to show that much promise early on and then regress so much even before his injury issues to come back to look like an all-star, like, has that ever been done?
I think he's got the perfect personality to defer in an offense that allows you to.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes styles don't match the pupil that you're trying to teach it to. And you got to take it back to the drawing board. I hope this year was a drawing board year for everybody. I hope everybody's on notice. And it sounds like people think they're on notice, and everybody talks that I'm on notice stuff. But I hope everybody understands how bad this year has been. And I think they do. But you got to see that action. You got to see what happens in this offseason, because guys putting up jump shots and all the other things that they did last, like, this is the best September ever and all that, that's cool. But now I want the best October through June.
But that's what's so frustrating, right, is a drawing board year in year three, essentially. And in a lot of ways, the system building and all that kind of verbiage, it just doesn't feel like year three of a rebuild where a next step is being taken. It's like the foundation is being laid. So I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from. Also, the fact that it looked like Lowry had his 3 weeks to a month stretch last year, and that this team had, to then come into this year and have that taste kind of evaporate
first game.
Away. First game, the Charlotte game.
They lost that game, but Lowry Markkanen, I was talking to Kendall and Will after that first game, like, all right, things will be okay this year. Everything's going to be fine. Like, I know they want to shoot a lot more threes, but if this guy's going to do that, not on a regular basis, but if I can get that three times out of him a month, then we're talking about a 20-plus per game score and all the things that we envisioned for Lowry Markkanen when he was drafted. It's just like there's been like steps to this season where it's just broken down and you're like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot about the tough loss period, or forgot about the Clippers game, or forgot about Lowry, or forgot about Otto Porter Jr. because you haven't seen him in a jersey since forever, or forgot that there was a time where Zach LaVine was averaging like 20 points a game and he was adhering to the offense, and then he took over after that Charlotte game and said, this is my team, this is my offense. If I'm going to go down losing, I'm going to go down shooting. Like, there's been so many gradual, like, incremental moments where it's like, oh yeah, that also made me upset as a Bulls fan, and also while watching. So I can only imagine what they feel at Advocate and in that locker room.
Yeah, but to that end, you have to also consider what they said when these guys were healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of Lowry Markkanen needed more rebounds in order to fuel his offensive production. And I keep hearing from Roy Rogers the idea of they need to create more turnovers in order to get their offense going. So it's this whole defensive pressure that they feel like they have to create in order to get the offense working on the other side. Ideally, don't you want those more separated?
Well, I've always thought the fact that the offense was always so dependent on fast break and turnovers and points off turnovers, and it is more than any team in the league, to me that was always an indicator of a lacking half-court offense.
Which
I think people have said, and it's been repeated. Yeah.
And how are you going to rock that in the playoffs?
Well
that's...
Hey.
I don't think
Casey makes a face.
Casey,
well, she said the playoff.
She said, yeah.
No, I mean, hey,
you mentioned the B word.
They
Layla.
Said it. You know, the old phrase, interpret scripture with scripture. That's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm going to use their words for their words. So if this is what they're thinking through, then I'm saying
I'm with you.
I'm just saying here. Yeah, I'm just saying.
And they're in the weird position too, KC, where like we've talked about it and everybody in this room's talked about it. Like I don't know what adding another 21-year-old or 20-year-old to this roster is going to do either. I don't know what having another young player via the late lottery is going to do to help the squad. I mean, this is already a thin draft, a lot of people think, as is. And everybody who's out there searching for their Kawhi or searching for their Giannis Antetokounmpo, fine. But I don't know what another young player. Kobe White is 19, and we're just seeing him kind of get it, 60 games into an NBA season. I don't know if I've got another 60 games to watch somebody's development who's also responsible for playing an integral part in winning. Like Kobe White is one of the two or three most important players on this team now. And that's saying something. You know, 2 years ago he's playing AAU basketball. I don't know if hell, maybe because I'm 39 now. I don't know if I got time to wait anymore.
it's funny you were talking about Jason Tatum earlier, though, because do you guys remember that brief little blissful window where people were saying if you redrafted, who would you take, Lauri Markkanen or Jason Tatum?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
That was like a legit debate for a little stretch.
Those are the Beasley Rose people, too, by the way. Those are the Derrick Rose
debate.
Versus Mike Beasley people. Those are the Sebastian Janikowski versus Brian Urlacher people. Those are the people who have been wrong and will continue to be wrong going forward. Jason Tatum, you know, come on, man. Like, come on, man. Hey, Lowry, you're my man, 50 grand. But, like, even Lowry would be like, come on, fellas. Like, what are we doing out here?
But there was definitely that time.
Yes.
I remember that time.
The 38, the back-to-back, was it like back-to-back 38s or something in his first year where it was like, oh, the Cleveland game. I remember because both teams had awful uniforms on. And I'm like, oh, next thing you know, he's got 38 points. I'm like, all right, cool. I go to work the next day when I worked at a certain place. I go to work the next day, and all of a sudden, you know, with this Dirk Nowitzki talking, I'm like, hey, calm down. Like, slow this down. Let him do his thing. And you get the ebbs and flows of, you know, a young player's career. But, yeah, Jason Tatum, I mean.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah.
But I do agree.
In.
I do agree with Layla, and I wonder what everyone else thinks. I do think this is an anomaly in the sense that he's not this bad.
No, he can't be.
No.
You can't play like that and then play like this.
Right.
You can't. And then we did every extreme, like, oh, what's he eating? Everything cool at home? Like there's all these questions being asked. And then the oblique happens, and then the other injury happens. And that's the other thing. That's why it was so important for this team to get off to a decent start and a good start for people to build something on, because injuries are going to happen. Like, all the games that they, you know, gave away early, you're sitting there like, hey, what's going to happen when you get hurt? Like, this is the fresh team. Like, this is the team that's getting minutes, giving minutes to Arch when nobody's hurt. All of a sudden, Arch has to start now. Like, these things happen in the NBA, and you had to make some hay early, and they didn't. So before the injuries happened, there was some disappointing times.
I got a quick funny story, and this will lead into a tease. So there you go. We got breaking news on the podcast.
Whoa!
No. Because you mentioned his diet. Are you ready for this one? I actually sat down with Lauri Markkanen and did a one-on-one interview about his diet the day before his early stress reaction was announced and he was out 4 to 6. So I'm sitting on an exclusive.
We are breaking
on the Bulls Talk podcast.
Yeah.
I have whatever, if he returns to play, ooh. I have the Lauri Markkanen. Don't come at my diet story.
All right. We didn't even talk about this.
That's some real journalism.
Yeah. It is real journalism.
Real journalism.
I mostly did it because I'm mostly vegan myself, so I was intrigued. So.
You are mostly vegan. I can attest to this. I saw him get cauliflower fried rice at the All-Star game.
It's un-American.
The happiest he's ever been. Legitimately.
Yes. Yeah. Joe Calley was appalled.
Yeah. I tried for like a day. It was tough. It was tough. You know how hard it is? Like, if you've not been vegan your whole life, and then all of a sudden you're like, on Monday, I'm going to try this. And then you're running around eating things, and you're like, wait a minute, that has something in it that I shouldn't be eating. That has something.
Was it gradual, Casey, or did you just do it like cold turkey?
Oh, come on. We're not going to go there. This podcast.
How did it
come on, people. The people want to know, Casey. How do you stay so young?
We're not going into Casey Johnson's diet during
that. Like,
bad enough that I'm sitting on a Lauri Markkanen diet story.
How did it affect your
like, vegan,
percent?
Vegan, or like vegetarian?
My wife was we're really
we're here.
My wife was a hard total vegan for about 3 years. She is total vegan anymore. She's close to it, and happy wife, happy life.
Yes, sir.
Hey!
No, no, I've mostly been a vegetarian for like 30 years. So
really
amazing.
See, I didn't.
We
know
learn a lot of stuff here on this podcast today.
This is why KC looks the way he looks.
I'm getting and I'm feels getting the way he feels. For lunch,
yeah, exactly. And this is why
I just had some chicken nuggets.
We're going to have arthritis and all these joint issues, and KC's going to be 104, still still covering the Bulls. And PJ Rose will have retired. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh! Are we wrapping this up here?
No,
what do you want me? What do you want me to do?
We gotta get into the NBA.
Oh yeah, let's talk about the NBA.
Yes.
All right. So, Layla's like, thank God.
Western Conference.
Well, let's talk about those Houston Rockets. This thing is intriguing to me because we saw it before with Nelly and a bunch of misfits who did it, right? You saw Steven Jackson and Baron Davis and those boys do it.
We Believe Warriors.
Yeah.
How dare you talk about that team that upset the number one seed? How dare you?
I love them. I love
that. That's my favorite team of all time.
That's one of the greatest and most fun teams in the last 25 years.
Yeah, that was Nelly's revenge.
All the weed, too.
Oh, I was hoping you were going there. I thought you were going to say smoked opponents, but I was hoping that you were going the marijuana angle because they did. And they talk about it quite often on the All the Smoke podcast. But
we should plug Haberstroh's feature then.
Tom Haberstroh smoking a lot of weed?
No.
What are we reporting?
No, Tom Haberstroh. No. Tom Haberstroh and I don't remember. Logan Murdoch was the other reporter. Okay,
all right.
Wrote something for NBC Sports National on kind of the progression of conversation around marijuana in the NBA.
Oh,
went live today. There's no interview with Don Nelson, but he does talk to Steven Jackson, and there's
Oh, okay.
I apologize. Monty Poole.
I'll be sure to check it out.
Yeah. All right.
Both Bay Area. My bad. Monty.
Sorry, Monty. Don't
shameless
come for
plug.
Us.
Now we'll set the table for Layla.
No, no. The Houston
to relive 2007? I hate you guys.
But these Rockets, though, this small ball thing is working for them because they pretty much have two unstoppable isolation players, and they're saying, we're going to make you take that big off the court or make you have that big stick somebody he can't stick, and we're going to have open lanes. Russell Westbrook is playing an efficient brand of basketball like we haven't seen in a couple of years, and that's with the triple-double years. He is outstanding. I think James Harden is scoring the quietest 35 points per game that we've ever seen. Now we get to the playoffs here soon, and people are going to say, does it work in the playoffs? Does it work in the playoffs?
That was my first question.
The LeBron-Miami Heat team, they gave up a ton of rebounds in terms of rebound percentage. They were last. Remember Joel Anthony was starting for them at the center. So we've seen it where a 6'8", 6'9 guy is paired with another 6'8", 6'9 guy, and then Chris Bosh at 6'10 is out there on the perimeter. So they play their version of small ball. Do you think the Rockets can get away with this in the playoffs? Let's start with you.
It's different than those Heat teams, though. Like, they will legitimately not – I said legitimately.
That's his word. Is that the shot word? Take a shot when you hear Rob say. Legitimately.
But they will not play anybody above 6'6".
Right.
This isn't Chris Bosh, 6'10", big on the perimeter. And the question come playoff time, I think, especially when you think about the front lines in the Western Conference, if you run into the Lakers, if you run into the Clippers, if you run into Utah, which they have their whole
guard,
other conversation.
Is their question?
Well, it's just over a 2-week, 7-game series. When the counterpunch gets thrown, what's the next step? But it's taken a lot of people by surprise now. And I think putting four shooters around Russell Westbrook has kind of dissuaded him from taking so many threes, which is a very inefficient shot for him.
None of them
and he's playing the best basketball that he's played in a long time, which is fun to watch. They're a fun regular season team. I will enjoy rooting for them in the playoffs because they make everybody angry, and that's kind of funny to me.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just this league, man. There are 30 teams, and everybody's doing something different, trying to
it's
get that next edge, and it's fun.
It's funky. I like
coming
funky.
Out of the West.
Ooh.
Clippers are 5-0 when they have everybody. 2-0 against the Lakers. I'd have a hard time picking against Kawhi until I see it happen. But
Lakers.
That's
coming.
Crazy. We used to say that Lakers. About LeBron.
Yeah.
Lakers coming out the West.
I can't argue with that, really.
So when you said I have a hard time picking against Kawhi, I have a hard time
LeBron.
Picking Anthony against Davis. LeBron and Anthony Davis, beating those two guys four times in seven games.
Yeah. I talked to somebody who works on that Laker bench right now, and the guys that they have put on that team, LeBron has to trust you before he respects you. And I think there's a trust and respect level this year that a lot of people who have been around LeBron previously haven't seen since he left Cleveland, with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson and Kyrie Irving, who have played that little brother role to him. And talked to a couple of people who say LeBron is different than he's been last year, than he was the year before that. Like, there's a different vibe to him. And having Anthony Davis, where Anthony Davis doesn't have to be the guy, but LeBron treats him like the guy in terms of how he feeds him on the court, and also understands that he has to go get his as well, and having Anthony Davis is going to make defenders, you know, put a little bit more attention on another star rather than him just going out there with Kyle Kuzma. Now, the problem is the Kyle Kuzmas of the world, the rotations that they have. Like, I don't understand why Frank Vogel plays Rondo and LeBron at the same time the way he does, because Rondo can't do anything if he's not on the ball. Right. So there's still things that they have to work out, but the way you feel about Kawhi and that Clippers team, and I know why you do. I think LeBron's on a different kind of storybook mission, especially with the Kobe stuff and all that. I think there's a lot of energy coming off of that Lakers team. And he's not playing a whole bunch of minutes, which I think is important.
Yeah, I'm pro-Lakers when it comes to the playoff discussion. I am 100% here for a Western Conference final with small ball Rockets and actual center Lakers.
Oh, I'm going for Lakers-Clippers.
Rockets might get the Lakers in the second round. They have the four seed.
Oh, yeah, that's
four
true.
Or five. Yeah.
That makes sense. But yeah, because right now that would be I'm looking at the shot chart for the Rockets.
It's crazy,
and
then
their ridiculous 140-point game against Memphis. And the funny part is, there's more made mid-range on there than you'd think would actually be on there.
Because mm-hmm. You have to mix it in.
Fair.
All Westbrook.
But the funny, and look at how many like missed threes there are, like wing and elbow.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing to me about it is the Rockets were considered the originators of this data, right? Like, they were the ones who started farming it. They're the ones who said first down the court in 6 seconds. They're the ones who argued that three was more statistically significant. I'm getting real geeky here.
No, do you think?
But they're the ones who have always been the game changers as far as the data is concerned. I would still argue that because there is less data overall in basketball than there is in baseball, because of sample size, because of individuals per team, that the data is not statistically sound yet. So this is their latest adjustment to that. So they're going in based on the data they've collected, and they're saying, this is how we're going to plug these people into the system. What I think is in their favor is that they have successfully made James Harden into the guy he is. He's been an efficient scorer for years now. And they were faithful to this whole idea that they were going to build around him, and Westbrook is now that guy. CP3 is obviously where he is now in Oklahoma City. So, in theory, this is the fullest maturity of their data push, right? They've got D'Antoni, they've got the data, they've got this no center concept going, no big at all. So if they're going to do it, they think this is the year to do it, and this is how they're going to try to figure that out.
I think what Utah did, I think that's going to be the game plan in the playoffs, even though it didn't work that game where they put Rudy Gobert on Russell Westbrook. And it didn't work that game, honestly. But in a seven-game series, I think that's a gamble I'm willing to take, where Russell Westbrook takes all the shots and then everybody else is kind of like standing and watching, because I'm going to bet that he can't make those consistently over a seven-game series. That's just my gamble.
And the Rockets would argue that their data says otherwise.
Yeah, they would. Right, they'll do it. But if you need my best defender out there, which in that case would be Rudy Gobert, which you do need him out there, that's what you do with it. Because I don't want him parked outside next to PJ Tucker, who's just standing there at the corner three the whole possession.
They've only lost two games, if I'm not mistaken, since their small ball lineup.
Yeah.
One was against Phoenix, where Russell didn't play, and the other one was where Bojan Bogdanovic hit a game-winning shot against them. So, I mean, they've been pretty damn successful doing it. Now, of course, you're not catching people on the second night of back-to-backs. And when you get your scouting report in the playoffs, you know, you got two guys that you're going to be guarding. So, you know, their tendencies and all those other things you can key in on. But I'm looking forward to seeing how anybody's going to try to defend this, because they're break. First of all, individually, James Harden has kind of broken the NBA in terms of what people think is a travel. With, you know, me and Kendall, we don't argue about this anymore because I don't have time. But Kendall thinks that I always ask, why is the conspiracy aimed at making sure that no one calls a travel on him. Like, obviously, he's doing something where he's freaking the rules a little bit. And I think that's a microcosm of what they're doing with their team. Hey, can you guard, like you just mentioned, if you want to guard Rudy Gobert, if you want to put Rudy Gobert on Russell Westbrook, you better damn believe that he's going to have him running up and down the court. And he's not just going to wait for Rudy Gobert. And even on made baskets, you see how quick they get the ball out the net on made baskets. I mean, it's they're going to have a counterpunch because they're forcing the style of the fight. So they're thinking, okay, yeah, you don't want P.J. Tucker to be standing over there in the corner with Rudy Gobert on him. You're going to put Rudy Gobert on this guy? Like, these are the things where, you know, D'Antoni, he gets hired for this system. And it almost worked in Phoenix until – you know, the Robert Horry thing. I mean, we look at it, and I'm saying it almost worked. It almost worked with lesser parts.
It almost worked with Houston. They took Golden – I mean, other than Cleveland in 2016.
Chris Paul hamstring
one.
Away, right?
Yeah, right.
That's well, it. Yeah. That's absolutely it.
Yeah.
So, KC, is it going
to
work?
Are you looking forward to seeing how the Bulls defend him on March 21st?
I cannot wait.
Because I will be there in Houston.
Yeah. Oh.
That'll be a spicy meatball.
No, I'm just saying, when you said you're looking forward to seeing how teams defend them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I am with Tony. I'm with Tony on this one. In a seven-game series, I think you can defensively
neutralize it.
Yeah. And schematically prepare for them.
History says you can. I just want to see if something historic.
Hey, if we get Lakers Rockets in the second round and Lakers Clippers in the conference finals, we're all better people.
Yeah,
100%. I'm down.
Tony, you want to make the Nuggets case?
Don't do that. You don't even believe that. Stop.
I just love Michael Porter, and I want nothing but success for Michael Porter, yeah, even though, you know, he's got, like, serious injury stuff to get over.
It down the road. It's not happening right now.
Y'all don't love Luka at all, man.
I mean, we do. You know what? Yeah. You see the groan? Jesus.
they might draw the Nuggets in the first round, which would be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be a great series to watch. Yeah. It's kind of like the wild card game you watch, like when you watch the Texans or the Bengals playing. You're like, I know neither one of you are going to be in the Super Bowl, but thank you for entertaining me.
It felt like that was 7 years in a row. That
Texans play. Oh, look,
you
want to
describe
Yates.
Houston sports in a nutshell? You just did
man.
It. With Rockets
I keep
and
forgetting.
Texans.
Oh, just keep snatching the Band-Aid off that Houston wound.
That's fine. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm here for the Texans.
Oh, yeah? Okay, nice.
But, you know, but I like, you know, the whole Western Conference 1-8 is going to be entertaining, even though, you know, that Memphis team, they're going to slide up out of there, right?
Yeah. No.
Well,
no,
whoever gets that 8 seed, though, if it's Portland, if it's New Orleans, if it's anybody.
I think it's New Orleans.
1-8.
They got the easier schedule.
Really?
Yeah, I think
they've got a little ways to climb, but yeah, I could see. Yeah, they're playing well.
I mean, nobody's stopping Zion. I know it's cool to say it, and you know you're not supposed to jump on the kid's back like this, but the dude's got like MVP metrics. Like if you look at his numbers right now, they're ridiculous. And he's
saying he may steal the rookie of the year.
No, I'm not saying that because everybody's playing this whole like I keep asking, would you rather have when Malcolm Brogdon and Joel Embiid went at it, and Joel gave him like 40 games. And Malcolm Brogdon played the whole season. I'm like, would you rather have 40 of Joel Embiid or a full season of Malcolm Brogdon in that rookie year? I'd rather have Joel Embiid, but this is different because Ja has played at an exceptional level as well. But if this dude sneaks into the playoffs, man, which I think he will, I think they will, I wouldn't be surprised if he got more votes than people think he should get.
As much as we are pimping the Western Conference, and I do love it, the Sixers, by the way, there is a bit of a panic button that is starting to be pressed.
Yeah, I said it 2 years ago that this team wouldn't win anything with those two dudes as the leaders. I mean, because
Jimmy knew.
Well,
yes, people are coming to his defense, especially the
read
last
those
week.
T-shirts.
Hey, Jimmy, much like Rajon, you know, the dudes are truth tellers, man. You drop those cats in the locker room and you find out what you got. Sometimes you don't like what you find, but you find out what you got. And that, I mean, you got a shoulder, and now you got a back for one of the other dudes. Like, Tobias Harris got that max money. It's time to dance, player. Like, I need 25 out of you every night for the rest
for,
of this.
Two.
Right,
or two.
Like, yeah. Hey, Al, we love you again. Get back in that starting lineup and be that guy for us. Yeah.
Can you imagine how different this team would look if they went with Tatum than Fultz?
Well, I mean, that's the mellow Darko draft.
Well, they
right
won a
there.
Title with Darko regardless, didn't they?
Yeah, they won a title with Darko on the
bench.
Roster.
Yeah, on the bench. Yeah. But it's, but you that, know, it's hard to what if that one too
but
much.
That
yeah,
move,
you're right.
Like, all the issues that.
Put Melo in Detroit for 15 years after that would have been nice, though.
Like all the issues that Philly is having now, the spacing issues, the like all of those are fixed with Tatum. in that lineup, in that starting lineup.
And yeah. It was a bad pick.
Yeah, it was an awful pick.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, they gave up a future first, and now
because they messed up on that pick, they may have to trade one of those two anyway.
There's no may. Those two dudes.
And they already traded the dude that they took with the pick
right.
to Orlando, where he's, I don't want to say flourishing, but he's having a nice year, and he's a good story.
They're gonna have to break that thing up after this year.
Who would you trade?
Who would I trade?
Yeah.
Joel Embiid.
Ooh.
If I can't trust you to stay in shape, I don't give a damn how good you are.
He's got more value too, probably.
He does.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, I think, if this is max Ben Simmons for the rest of his career, talking about an all-world defender, talking about a guy who's probably going to get you 16, 17, and close to triple-double numbers. So he's super, super LeBron light, right? Mm-hmm. I can put something around that. When you have Joel Embiid, your entire offense is going to have to rely on him and defense, and on top of that, his availability. There's too many things up in the air, too far into his career where I'm like – I think he's marvelous. I think he's a fantastic player. He's probably one of the five most talented players in the league. But if I can't count on you, even after last year, what happened last year, I mean, Kawhi Leonard's shot, we're talking maybe a different outcome and a different view on this team. After last year and the way they went out, and you come in this year and people are still questioning the same things about your responsibility level, and the maturity things too, man. Like, at some point you got to take your cool off, stop acting like a kid, get down to business. And I think he does it in enough spurts to make people think, oh, it's coming.
Tantal.
And then, then you have what you have.
Sixers fans are going to riot if Embiid gets traded. He is their guy.
I can dig it. Because he's not aloof. He's a personality, and he's talented as hell.
He calls himself the process.
Yeah. But I mean,
Hinky.
Right. Oh, dude.
Points Sam, to the sky.
Sam was right. Sam won, man. I don't care what anybody say. Sam Hinkie won. He figured things out. Remember when – see, this is what losing does to you as well. Losing makes you feel like, oh, well, there's certain guys who I respect and trust. Remember when Brett Brown was everybody's favorite coach who was getting a bad rap? Now everybody wants to fire Brett Brown.
And he was on Pop staff, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody.
What a coaching tree.
Yeah. Budenholzer. My man in Utah, Quinn Snyder,
yeah,
right.
Jim Boylan.
Yeah, and who else we got on there? There's one more that I'm forgetting. Oh my God, Pop's tree is vast, including our very own.
Is there
Jim
Orlando
Boylan.
Coach on that tree?
Clifford.
Steve Clifford.
Clifford? Yeah, Steve
yeah.
Clifford.
No,
jeez.
No, Orlando Borrego.
Charlotte. Yeah, Jimmy Borrego.
Borrego's on.
Yeah. Guy looks like a hitman from an action movie. Tell me Jimmy Borrego doesn't look like a hitman from an action movie. Yeah, our guy John Sabine, yeah. we've workshopped this.
Can we talk about the Heat and how bad they are now?
How bad they are now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think they're bad. I just think they're I think they're doing what they were supposed to do at the beginning of the season at the end of the season, if that makes any sense. Like they're a really, really good team. And of course the Andre Iguodala acquisition is intriguing, but I think they're just good enough to take someone to seven, and then the process begins for them in terms of what they realize.
Who is
they
someone?
Are.
The Bucks? You think they could take the Bucks to seven?
The Bucks are already playoff eligible.
Exactly. Yeah.
I definitely want to talk about the Bucks later, but man, I don't know if they can take them to seven.
No way. Not in my opinion. And it's funny, the defensive numbers on Iguodala so far, there's obviously it's a small sample size, there's time for it to stabilize, but
he's getting
there's a question there, right?
He's getting
as to really how transformative of an addition is.
Well, last year he was hanging on.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the last time we saw him with Golden State, him and Sean Livingston were the guys who were like, all right, peace out, guys. We won our championships. And then he jumps back in the fray and, does what he does with Memphis or whatever. But I think there's a certain distance that a Jimmy Butler-led team can get you without anybody else being Jimmy Butler's caliber. And that's the issue.
Where's Jimmy? Jimmy hasn't played in a while.
There was personal reasons. I know the little stretch that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. He had personal reasons. I was just hoping it didn't have anything to do with his newborn daughter, because I know he just had a kid. Mm-hmm. But he was out for a little stretch for personal reasons. But I think they're way ahead of schedule, right? And I think they're just upstart enough. And you sign a guy like Jimmy Butler for these moments, so I think they give somebody a series.
Well, them versus Philly in the first round would be really interesting.
Yeah,
because it would just be home road winning by 30 points.
That's seven
because nobody's going to win on the road. Yeah.
That's the playoff expectation.
Yeah.
That's what people seem to think is going to be the draw is Heat and Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the Sixers were healthy, I think they would give the Milwaukee Bucks the best matchup, mm-hmm. even though I think Boston – it may be a better team than the 76ers, if that makes any sense. I just don't trust Boston's bench.
I'm kind of on the Toronto train, man.
I can't.
Siakam?
I mean, Siakam's in terms of bodies to throw at Giannis, that's really the first thing you got to think about with the Bucks matchup.
Yeah. He's got waves of the same type of dude that
Surge,
you can throw.
You know,
Ronda Hollis-Jefferson.
Yeah.
But the thing about Toronto, though, is
Boucher.
It seems like so much of them is just kind of this interchangeability. Oh, they have 10 guys who can do whatever you want on a given night. But in the playoffs, like, you really just need that 7 or 8, right?
So I just need to know who's going to hit the shot or who's going to take over the last 2 minutes for them. Pascal Siakam has shown you he can do that. He did it in the finals a couple of times
because,
you know, we like to act like Kawhi Leonard was, you know, the knight in shining armor for all those games. There was games where Kawhi was dragging that leg, and you could tell he wasn't having it or feeling it that night. And Pascal Siakam came up big. Kyle Lowry had a couple of big games. Van Vliet is just – that's a pit bull, man. I love Fred Van Vliet.
And the thing about Boston that I question that in terms of matching up with the Bucks versus Toronto is just this Tatum thing. He's obviously making this huge leap, but against such a long physical team for 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Just, are we sure he's going to be this that entire time? And I think there's a question of that with Hayward, too.
Well, I like if Kemba's your two, though.
Hayward.
Yeah, Kemba's your – yeah.
And he went
straight to Gordon.
Kemba struggled against Philly and Milwaukee this year, too. I mean, that's
because
a tough matchup.
Because he's tiny.
It's a tough matchup for him.
He's tiny.
He is tiny.
He tries to operate in the paint.
And he choked away the All-Star game, and I'm going to build a take off of that.
Here we go.
I'm here for the Rob takes.
I can just see the WhatsApp now. Rob Schaefer.
Right.
Got VOD of Kemba, and I'm going to build off of it. By the way, what app are we – well, we probably shouldn't do it on the podcast.
Well, get well soon is all else. And it's just – it's unfortunate that has happened because Tony was saying it makes me feel a little bit more selfish for enjoying the All-Star game so much that then now there is an injury that has kind of come out of it.
We can't enjoy anything.
We had the one. Nice we enjoyed things. The one. Now going forward, they shouldn't play as hard.
Don't ruin something so good.
We had the one for Kobe.
Kobe, you know.
Now get back to
Kobe now, would never be satisfied with just one.
Now go back to scoring 200 plus points and going about our day.
Yeah, no one talking about it the next day.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. And it's in Indianapolis, so. Eat your heart out.
Be careful with Indianapolis.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I know. Hopefully there's bad weather the next year as well. Keep everybody indoors because Naptown gets a little wild. All right, I'm going to end this now.
No, because
I'm going to get in trouble the more I talk.
Put that on a quote board.
The more I talk, the more trouble I'm going to get into.
Give it to us, Layla.
Why? We talked about it a little bit on the last podcast.
Layla's tripping.
Why are we putting this Milwaukee team in
historical significance?
Because
we know they're not going to win the championship.
But still, even if we take it this regular season as it is.
Nobody cares about regular seasons anymore.
You know why?
After Golden State blew that 3-1 lead, every regular season after is going to be trash for everybody.
The highest point differential ever?
Enjoy.
Ever?
Yeah, enjoy these six games at Staples.
That's the thing. The basketball reference page, when you scroll down the list of champions, it doesn't have point differential.
Yeah, at all. Like, tell me what that 98 team's
like. Here's the compelling piece to Milwaukee, though. It's not just the point differential, and it's not just Giannis. It's that everybody on that team got better.
Yeah.
Every single person got better. You can't say that. And we're 90 miles down the street, and how are we feeling about things right now?
Not very good. That's
Brooke
why we're
Lopez
talking about
is a
them.
Top five rim protector in the league. Do you remember what we were saying about Brooke
People
Lopez?
People were trying
when he came
to
up
get rid
Nets?
Of Brooke Lopez.
The Lakers
shot.
Couldn't wait to trade him.
And every decision they made.
The right one.
Every single
rid of
one,
Malcolm Brogdon,
coaching,
letting him go.
Free agents.
Yeah, I think that's going to come back to bite him, actually.
Trades. Yeah. Yes, everything is hitting for them.
In George Hill. That's the only thing. I mean, George Hill.
George Hill's shooting the hell out of the ball.
He is, yeah. But
well,
I mean, I
think he'd rather him than,
I'm, you know.
I don't trust Bledsoe.
J.R. Smith is my man, 50 grand, and if George Hill would have hit those free throws, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about J.R. would be back in the NBA if George Hill would have hit those free throws. George Hill missed some free throws, went blonde on us, and we're still blaming J.R. You know what I mean?
Well.
Just being real with you. But I got you, J.R., if nobody else does.
I feel transported again.
Yeah, yeah.
But seriously, though, Tony, you bring up Milwaukee, and they do deserve some respect for a good reason. I think, sincerely.
They're magical.
Everybody they're on that awesome. Team got better, and that is just insanity. And that's how you develop people.
And this is – but this is – flip the script, though. Everybody's, like, hitting that ceiling, right? When they get beat this year, right? When they get beat this year, the clock starts. It's already started around All-Star break with, you know, the nebulous comments about his brother or whatever. But, yeah, the clock starts. Like, we can't – especially in the NBA, there's no league that enjoys your cuteness until it's time to not be cute anymore immediately. Like, it happened with Steph. When Steph had the funny ankles and he got signed to the deal that was team-friendly, and people were like, all right, what you got now, kid? And then he was like, okay, I'm going to turn into the greatest shooter of all time and stop worrying about certain parts of my game that aren't going to benefit me. Like LeBron, I call it the LeBron pressure. I will always call it the LeBron pressure. After those first few years, it's like, all right, you're cool. What now? Mm-hmm. And he's been under that pressure for a decade. Certain players and certain teams, and I think Giannis, it's his time now where if they go and they play against LeBron or they play against Kawhi and they lose, that clock has started immediately after that last game is over, because if everybody's developing and everybody's hitting that ceiling, he's going to look around and go, how much further does everybody have to go in development? And on top of it, can I get another person to come play with me here? Like, all these things are going to start to be thrown in his head, and maybe he's thinking on his own, but it's going to start as soon. That's why the NBA is beautiful, because as soon as this season ends, the next one starts, and it's going to start with where Giannis is going to be in his disgruntled free agent year.
But my only thing with that is there's not many like
spots.
The LeBron Cleveland situation was different because you can make an argument that LeBron was winning in spite of the stuff that the Cleveland, you know, management, whatever roster they were putting out there.
Luke Jackson,
like,
and the boys.
I can make the argument that Milwaukee has been a top tier team in the league in terms of development, in terms of bringing in the right players,
the coach.
And, around him and the coach. Like, he's not going to. Like, where else is that that he can just leave also and leave the Supermax?
Miami.
Yeah.
Golden State.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those, I mean, what I'm saying is, like, it's not a lot of teams out there that
they're not
like
but
that.
But, some.
The thing, but the
a
thing
lot
about
of the
it,
Eastern Conference, let's be honest. But, exactly. But historically
exactly.
speaking.
Exactly.
The fact that we're even having this conversation, though, shows that even last year they go up 2-0 on Toronto and Kawhi flips it. Mm-hmm. Giannis tightened up a little bit over the course of that series, like he definitely did, and it just shows that that has even if we say that the clock starts ticking this year, that it kind of already has now, that that's even a thought in our head. So it'd be interesting. I believe in them. They're my finals pick right now.
Yeah, they're head and shoulders better than everyone in the East.
And I just see it with Giannis, man. I don't think he has that mental block to get over. I think he's there. Mm-hmm. I just...
I mean, but we'll see in seven with Anthony Davis when you got to see him every night.
Hey, man, listen. Zion Williamson, was it, two nights ago now, Zion Williamson was taking it to Anthony Davis's chest.
Jason Tatum took it to Anthony
Davis.
Yeah, he was hunting
Anthony Davis. Is a really, really – he's a terrific defender, but nobody in this league can be guarded one-on-one anymore because of what you can't do in terms of physicality. Giannis's issue is going to have to be on that free throw line too, because I fear that we're going to get into a very, very critical situation in these playoffs, and he's going to be put at the line and asked to win a game, and that's when the other part of this conversation is going to start, because everybody, like, we haven't seen his deflating moment yet. Like, every superstar before they won a championship, we saw their moment where it was like, yo,
that's true.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Giannis's will this break you moment yet. And I think at some point
going up 2-0
or that was a team thing.
I'm gonna bring this full circle on you since you started with Baron Davis and that team with Nelly. Dirk Nowitzki had that in 2007.
100%.
Kawhi had it.
As if losing in the finals wasn't defeating enough.
Yeah.
That first round exit.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Like
Luka 13 triple doubles this season, by the way.
Yes. Hey, man. Luka's the man.
Luka awareness. But I'm still here for the possible Rockets Lakers matchup though.
This entire, like, I can't wait. Like, fast forward, we can't. It's February. We're talking about this. The playoffs this year are going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, and everybody's like concerned
with all the regular season odds whack and ratings are down, but like it all matters is the playoffs. That's the only thing that matters.
Well, you circle dates when guys are going to see each other.
And playoff
then you
preview.
Get, yeah, exactly. And then you get to the playoffs. Like every, you know, ESPN and TNT got it, get it right more times than not. We're like, all right, here's the games we want you to see. Here's the storylines we want you to be a part of. And then when you get, you feel like you're in tune. Mm-hmm. If you when you get to the playoffs because of the regular season. Regular season doesn't have to be all 82 games watched to your favorite team.
Right.
Hopefully you're doing it on NBC Sports Chicago. But if mm-hmm. not, you know, you feel like you're in tune. You feel like you're a part of the story still.
Here's a question I want us all to ask ourselves starting now and just keep track of it for the playoffs, and then we can revisit this. Just a
I am somebody,
podcast
and I
idea.
Do feel pretty.
Yes. And people like you.
Right.
No, so we've talked all about the NBA moving to the three-point line this season mm-hmm. ad nauseum. Everybody's doing it, mm-hmm. not just your Bulls, everybody. So the
Other
question,
people are hitting
everybody. So the question becomes, is this going to change the playoffs? Is it? Are we going to finally see a change the playoffs? Or not even change, but affect the playoffs?
Oh, you're and talking that's about a, more of a regular season
are we
going
to start to see
of?
This in the playoffs? Period. Mm. Is it going to change
Certain
the playoffs?
Certain teams
that
are going,
much?
Like, the Rockets aren't going to take any less than 40.
Rockets
they
will.
Have to. They have
but,
to.
But I want to see we're how used this to, actually affects yeah. the playoffs now.
We're used to seeing regular season ball turn into half-court playoff physical basketball and more and less sets. I think we'll see an escalated pace. I don't know if we'll see the pace that we saw in the regular season. It's just because you're only playing seven or eight guys as is.
But will
and the
teams
games are,
try it?
I don't
That's
think so. I don't – if you have – especially the deeper you get into the playoffs, if you have one of those dudes that's left – you need to take advantage of them being better than everybody else on the other team on the offensive end. You don't take advantage of that by playing an up and down pace.
But
you pick out your spots as a. If I'm LeBron, there's no use of me going up and down because I can take advantage of everybody that's trying to guard me right
but
now.
But then you're learning or having to execute two different offenses essentially. That's right. Where it gets interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Is at some point there's got to be an adjustment.
I think you have to be the closest. You know, facsimile to what you were in the regular season.
Yes.
And if you don't achieve it, then fine, but you got to win games too. Like, this is all – I used to talk to Sam Mitchell about this, how like he said that he would play, you know, 10 guys early on in the season and then whittle his bench down, and then he knew that in the playoffs, if there was an injury, that ninth or tenth guy was still ready because he had to be keyed in early on in the season. So – You hope things don't happen, but you have contingency plans. The contingency plan, I think, for a team that's shooting 44 threes a game is, okay, if we got to go down to 36, 37, fine, but we can't stray too far from what we actually are. Like, your identity has to stay the same or else you're playing into the other team's hands.
And see, that's what I want to see play out.
Right. Just teams being themselves.
We'll revisit it, but I want to see how the contrast is going to play out, especially this season.
I'll log it.
Given everything we've seen.
Yeah, I don't
I'll log it.
There's going to be a lot of old heads.
I don't know if I want to see that. Yeah,
I'm team old head. I want half-court sets. I want plays being run.
But
post-ups?
All of it.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's why I like the Lakers.
Those players don't.
You should like the Sixers, too, though.
Yeah, you should love the Sixers.
But it's just like what Philly fans have been saying. Like, there's something there that's missing.
Yeah, well, something is, you know.
They're hinging on the panic button in Philly right now.
Of course, they should be.
Yeah, they should be. They sat through too many bad seasons.
Talk about being locked into a roster.
They got three max players. Yeah, they got three guys that they've already paid.
I remember back in the day when they were just all called assets, and they were a gleam in the coach and Sam Hinkie's eyes.
Shout out to Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens, I know, we saw him in the flesh.
He was the first. He was the first building block in that process.
MCW.
Was it?
Michael Carter Williams. Remember that time?
Also, wasn't John before Nerlens? I think John might have been before Nerlens. Or am I wrong? Was he after?
I thought it was MCW, then Nerlens.
And then John. Okay, yeah. All right.
Okay, yeah.
But I date myself.
Hey, well, we all do. The only young ones in here are everyone else besides me.
This was an epic podcast.
It was.
Yeah, we gave people a lot for their money.
And we didn't even allow KC to talk the last 15 minutes of it. You sit in that corner over there, KC, and you don't say anything.
Yeah, enjoy your vegan meal.
Yeah, KC. All right, we're going to wrap this puppy up. Thank you to everybody. Thank you, Layla. Thank you, KC. Thank you, Rob. And thank you, Tony. We love you. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every single Tuesday and Friday morning.